Good morning. A Thursday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, the headlines this morning about the impeachment hearings yesterday. Impeachment witness reveals scope of Trump's Ukraine push. Startling testimony about new call further implicates Trump. William Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine, says the New York Times, revealed that President Trump, in a call with another diplomat, asked about, quote, the investigations. This revelation comes as Democrats opened the first public impeachment hearing in more than two decades. You heard it right here on WAMC. Of course, the Republicans stating their case, saying the president basically did nothing wrong and talking about how the Democrats had done things wrong. Your thoughts on how the first day went?
Well, I watched with great interest, and I think that the two witnesses did extraordinarily well and made their points, made them without what would appear to be extra emphasis on anything. They just said their thing. The Republicans, of course, have a problem. Trump did what he's accused of doing. So I don't know how this turns into a win for them. I tell you, I watched Trump and the short interviews that they did with him during the day. He did not seem the same bombastic Trump that we have seen before. I believe he sounded marginally depressed. And it was fascinating to watch the air come out of his tires. So, you know, I think that this is going the way the Democrats wanted to. In our own area, we have at least one Republican congresswoman from the North Country who made the original point of order, a good player for the Republican team. But I don't think it went over well. I'll be fascinated to see whether this is going to cost her. You know, it's a very mixed district. And if the Democrats get motivated, she could lose. I don't have any doubt about it.
From Elise Stefanik, the Republican from the North Country, to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who said on Wednesday that the Senate cannot dismiss the articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump, meaning there will be a trial in the Senate.
Well, I think that there would be chaos if the Republicans, as some have suggested, say, we're not going to have a trial. And there have been some Republican operatives and others who have been saying that's what ought to happen. But you have a lot of prestige on the line here, David. You have the Chief Justice of the United States, who is slated, of course, to be the judge in the impeachment /conviction trial. So they have to go ahead with it. And you saw what the lines of defense would be, that some witnesses are deficient, didn't have firsthand knowledge. But what was interesting about yesterday's testimony was we do know now that the president asked and was intimately involved in the ask, otherwise known as how much the Ukrainians knew and he knew, and we now know that they both knew. So from the Democratic perspective, from the trial perspective, it does look like Trump was intimately involved, which many of us suspected, but now you have some proof.
We've also seen the language change a bit on the Democratic side from using quid pro quo to bribery.
Well, that's right, David. If you are taking your power as president of the United States, we have all heard it saying, okay, do something for me so that I will win in the next election, and I'll give you what you need in terms of resources from the United States taxpayers. That is bribery, at least according to the way in which it's being portrayed.
Next up, a parade of key witnesses. Friday, lawmakers will hear from former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who was ousted in May at Trump's direction. She told lawmakers in a closed-door deposition last month that there was a concerted campaign against her. Do these witnesses impact those key folks you keep talking about, the purples, the independents, as we look ahead to the next 2020 election?
David, they do, because these are Republican appointees. Look, the story on Taylor, who was this witness yesterday, is that he was asked to come out of retirement by Pompeo. When Taylor saw what the president was up to, he contacted Pompeo and he never heard back.
The AP now reporting, Alan, it's going to be official. Ex-Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts says he'll make a presidential bid.
I couldn't be more pleased. It is late in the game. To me, the issue with Deval Patrick is, does he have Barack Obama on his side? If Barack Obama basically lays hands on Deval Patrick and says, this is my guy, this is the guy who could be president of the United States, he'll get a lot of money very, very quickly. So to me, the fact that Barack Obama will, this is rumor, support Deval Patrick will be the entire ballgame as to whether he can get in the game. It's funny, though, you know, one day Bloomberg is in, and then you don't hear about the guy afterwards. You hear a lot of objections, but the Deval Patrick idea is raising an awful lot of speculation that he could be the guy.
watching those devastating pictures from Venice, Italy, Alan, the worst flooding in more than 50 years. It's prompted calls to do better to protect the historic city from rising sea levels as officials calculated hundreds of millions of euros in damage. The water reached just over 6 feet above average sea level on Tuesday. And again, those pictures show people up to their knees and waists in water.
David, we haven't seen anything yet. The continued rise of the seas, as we have been led to expect will happen by the scientists, is happening. And here is absolute proof that they've known all along what they were doing. What's always amazed me, and amazed most of the people who are listening right now, is the fact that we have done so little relative to the compromise of humanity. That's what it is. Our lives are on the line, and we have a president who is basically a climate denier and is taking us out of the Paris Accords and everything else, and it is a horrendous situation. If we had nuclear bombs flying, we would say, oh, this is a terrible crisis. This is just as bad. We are going to see cities disappearing. Al Gore was right in The Inconvenient Truth, for which he won a Nobel Prize. At least he got that. Look, I've never been that big a Gore fan, but he was absolutely right on what he was saying there. So this is the number one crisis other than nukes in the world.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, David, and thanks for being back. We love having you here.
Love being here.